Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of Daniel chapter 7, verses 15 through 22, titled Antichrist War with the Saints. This is part 2.
During the 70th week, you're not saved by saying the sinner's prayer any more than you're saved really now by that. You're saved right now by believing on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing how that Christ died for your sins and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. You do that in the 70th week and take the mark of the beast, you'll go to hell.
Amen.
There's no eternal security in the 70th week of Daniel.
Amen.
And all these bozos, nuts out there teaching. Now some of them, I don't want to sound like I'm... Some of these guys are just ignorant. They don't study the way they ought to. But there are some who just refuse to accept the Bible.
Sure. Yeah.
I've talked to them. They know what the Bible says. Their school teaches them to say one thing. The Bible isn't going to contradict their school or their denomination or whatever it is. That's what you run into. So the hard part in that text is that it says he prevailed against them. And if you believe that's the church, you got real problems. Compare this, keep your finger here. Compare this to Revelation chapter 13. Turn to Revelation 13, beginning in verse 6. Revelation 13, I'm going to start in verse 5 where you turn there. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Now the Pope already does that. The final pope's just going to be the icing on the cake. But the popes of all, they speak great things. They act like they rule the world. They think they're big. They think they're hot shots. And they speak blasphemies. They preach nonsense. They allow people to call themselves Holy Father and Vicar of Christ and all these blasphemous titles. And it says, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. How long is that?
3.5 years.
Second half of the tribulation. Verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Verse 7, and it was given unto him to what? With the saints. Exactly like Daniel. It was given unto him to make war with the saints. And to what?
Overcome them.
Some of you may not understand how important it is to get this, but if that's the church, then Jesus Christ is a liar. You understand that? People who are teaching that this is the church are making Jesus a liar.
Right.
And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. I'm going to stop there and go back now. Daniel 7. Verse 21 said, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and what? Prevailed against them. That's an important thing, because that proves it's not the church if you believe Jesus Christ. This cannot be true of the church, as Jesus promised in Matthew 16:18. Look up the TV monitor. Matthew 16:18, this is a promise from Jesus Christ. He says, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the what?
Gates of hell
shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell will prevail against the saints of the tribulation period. Are you understanding that? The saints in the tribulation period are not the church. This is one of the great proofs of the pre-trib rapture. The church is removed, and the gates of hell do prevail against the saints during the tribulation period. But that's not the church. The church has already been removed. So it's just devastation. This will be a holocaust, just like the holocaust that we talk about with the Jews. Revelation 11:7, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, talking about the two witnesses, and shall overcome them and kill them. But the Antichrist's days are numbered. Verse 22, back in Daniel 7, says, until the Ancient of Days came. So the Antichrist days are numbered. When Jesus comes back, Antichrist dies. Doomed. Not annihilation. We'll see in a minute. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Don't you love a happy ending? Is he as ugly as it gets for us reading prophecy? In the end, Jesus wins. But I want to make this clarification we've already talked about. This is about tribulation saints. So let's run down the facts on this issue of pre-tribulation and persecution. We've already talked about this isn't the church in the tribulation. It's tribulation saints. This is important. The church is raptured before this time. The church of Jesus Christ is never mentioned in any tribulation text. You start in Revelation 6 and go through the end, the church doesn't show up until it's over. And we return with Jesus Christ. There's no church in the tribulation in any biblical text about the tribulation. Amen. And the tribulation begins with complete apostasy. No believers exist on planet Earth the moment after. Amen. When the rapture takes place, the moment after that, there's not a single believer on the planet. Amen. Imagine that. It's already dark and evil right now. And we've got millions of Christians in America, probably not as many as some people think, but we got a lot compared to nothing. And all over the world, China, they say there's about 20 million Christians over there. Imagine the world without any Christians. John Lennon, you know, he wanted to imagine a world where there's no heaven, no hell below us, no religion. They'll get their chance. Yeah, he's already in that world. And in hell, the rich man lift up his eyes. But the whole world's going to get... And the whole world's singing this. They get the United Nations and they hook up several billion people at one time and sing that song by John Lennon, celebrating world unity. Imagine. Well, they're going to get their chance. And there, you go on social media, you'll see it, these liberals and left-wingers and nuts... They'll say, I can't wait till you guys disappear. I hope the rapture happens tomorrow. They'll say that stuff. Yeah, I'm with you. Because you're going to see what it's like. 1 Thessalonians 4:17-18 says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Complete apostasy. And the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The rapture happens. And sometime shortly after that, Daniel 9:27, the confirmation of the covenant reveals who the Antichrist is. And that's when it all comes down. Second thing, I have 3 points I want to mention. Number two, we are only guaranteed not to suffer Antichrist persecution and the sealed trumpet and vile judgments, the wrath of God. We're not guaranteed not to suffer persecution. We're not guaranteed that we won't suffer tribulation. And it amazes me how many people have contacted me over the years when I've said, taught the pre-trib rapture, and that we're not going through the period of great tribulation. And they can't seem to register that that doesn't mean you don't go through tribulation. It just means you're not going through the big one. And it's clear. 1 Thessalonians 5:9-10, the Bible says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. The time of tribulation, the Daniel 70th week, is a time of wrath. It's the wrath of God. Amen. You haven't been appointed to that. And we're also assured of persecution and tribulation this age. Not only are we assured that we're not going through the tribulation, but we're assured. It's like you talk about the promises of the Bible. They don't like this one. But it's a promise of the Bible. You will go through persecution. You will suffer tribulation before the Antichrist appears. In 2 Timothy 3:12, read that with me. If you can see it on the screen, read it. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The promises of God, aren't they precious? We need to make t-shirts and bumper stickers and postcards and little onesies for babies. You know, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I just don't think that's ever going to catch on. 1 Thessalonians 3:4. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation. Not the great tribulation, but tribulation. Even as it came to pass, and ye know. So the rapture is our comfort. As we read about how dark it is right now, and dark it's getting, and it's getting darker and darker, and we read about what's to come. It can get, some people think, oh, it just gets too much. I can't handle that. Well, you got to remind yourself that you're reading about somebody else's future, not yours. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, it's information, it's interesting, it helps you to be motivated to preach the gospel. You don't want your loved ones to go through that time. But the rapture is a comfort. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18 tells us about the rapture, and it ends in verse 17-18 saying, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. The dead in Christ rise first. To meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What's it say then? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. See? If it's not a preacher rapture, it's not a comfort. Amen. It's a comfort because he's saying, you're going out. You're going up. That's why we love to say it. And we had visitors Sunday. First time I'd ever met them in person. And as they left, they looked back and said, here they're in the air. Amen. Amen. And this comfort, once you let in, too many Christians just don't receive this truth. They don't live with this comfort. But if you'll receive it, you'll take it in and make it your own, it actually becomes a ministry because you then, being comforted, you can comfort others. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, who comforted us in all our what? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You see that? You receive the comfort of God. How do you receive that? Man, most Christians just scoff at this if you told them. You just say, you know what? I can get through anything because I'm comforted by the fact of the rapture. And they'll just look at you like, weirdo. I'm comforted because God loves me. And He loves me just like I am, and I don't have to change. And I'm wonderful. And I love myself. I'm full of self-esteem. Yeah, that's what the mode of operation there for most evangelicals today. And if you told them that your hope and comfort was based on the reality that at any moment, poof, you crazy nut. Amen. Guilty as charged. But only those willing to believe the truth will be comforted. That's the bottom line. Only those who are willing. The Bible says you have to receive the Word of God not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh in them that believe. That's the only way it'll work. The only way you'll get comfort. All right. We have any questions? Johnny in the back.
This is sort of a comment for Mike, but it's interesting that when thinking about what the tribulation will be like, perhaps other than comparing what we know of history, we should think about before the flood.
That's history.
I know, but
that's part of it. But see, we don't have hard facts about that and details about that.
But we do know that it was so bad that God was
yes.
ready to just destroy everything.
Yeah, I mean, that's important to understand.
Yeah.
Amen. But
did God say that the tribulation will be even worse than that? Then?
Yeah. And it's a great, I mean, it's a good point. It is, you have to understand that what God wiped the world out with water, this is going to be worse. But then you get into the history where we have accounts, details, journals, diaries, reports, pictures, videos. Then you start to say, wow, I do not want to be here for this. It's going to be bad. Charlie?
Just on the narrative, like how people are getting ready. Like right now, Kathy Griffin, I heard what she did with Trump.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, she caught flack for that.
Yeah.
That's in their hearts already.
Did I say something? She caught flack for that. From the, of course, the Trump supporters, they, you know, you shouldn't do that to our president and that thing. But a lot of the people on the left gave her flack simply because it was a dumb move.
Yeah.
They didn't really care about the fact she had a decapitated head of Donald Trump. It was stupid to put out in public. It was bad PR. So when that comes down to the tribulation period, it's no longer bad PR.
There's hundreds of cases like that where the college professors were condoning violence.
Yeah. Hey man, I still say anybody who knows what an abortion is, who can defend abortion, they're a bloody killer. They get a chance, they'll rip your throat. I just believe that. Yes, Stephen?
So in verse 15 it says, I gain no grief in my spirit in the midst of my body. And, well, okay, so is that a verse? I guess this is a proof text saying that your spirit is inside your body.
Yeah. Yeah, your spirit is in your body. It was in the midst of my body. In other words, when your spirit grieves you, your body feels it, but at the source of the grief is the spirit. And so there are times where you can have involuntary responses, and that's coming from deeper within than even your brain or your physical, like touch and pain. You know, that it's just a horrendous thing. But I remember the first time I really saw that was when I was helping clean up after a car accident. A drunk driver killed the father of a family, and the girls couldn't control their response. And it was one of those things where they were making themselves sick, but they couldn't control it. And since then, I've seen other examples of that. That's why the Bible talks about during a time when Babylon came down in Israel, the men were like women. And you read that first. So what do you mean? You read it, and it says they were basically so overwhelmed with grief that they were like women giving birth. And they had to hold their gut and laying on the ground, heaving with despair. That's the kind of thing it's describing. Yeah.
You're my prayer.
Right?
Stephen and I watched a movie recently called The Arrival. But it was where, blatant spoilers, but it was like a one world type movie where there's no rapture, because you see a lot of the alien movies, you can see like depictions of rapture.
Yeah.
This, there wasn't a case of that, but the premise of the movie was everyone coming together.
Pod? Yeah, I saw that.
You saw it, yeah.
Couldn't remember the name of it.
Interesting because...
For that very reason.
It showed the religious people freaking out when one church like set themselves on fire in their building, saying it was like the second coming, and then you had the people who were like the warmongers and everything. But the whole point of the union coming was to bring everybody together, have one language. They brought a special language, and so I thought that was interesting. Whereas in the tribulation, you'll have all that terrible stuff coming, but when the Antichrist comes, he'll have a promise, and it's the promise is going
to be peace and safety,
good enough to where everyone will then be like, oh,
kind of like Babylon.
Yeah,
Doug.
A lot of these films that are produced by these big money Jewish people, and they will twist the, they'll make it sound like it's a, it's Jesus or God or something like that, and then they got this twistedness in them, and it's not found in the book.
Yeah, it's across the board Jewish Gentile though. I mean, you got Ted Turner, and then you have the Steven Spielberg, and then you know, it's just pretty much liberal. Yeah, Hollywood liberals take anything from the Bible. I mean, it's like I've talked about the gospel. Most people watch so much TV that's where they get their idea of what Christianity is. And they think Christianity, we think we're going to heaven because we do good things. We're a bunch of do-gooders. And we think we've done so much good, we're going to go to heaven. And that's how Hollywood always paints it. The movies like Heaven Can Wait, you know, and all these where they have to come back and do a bunch of good work so they can give it back into heaven. And even the movies that are, you know, they kind of, I'm not going to knock all the movies, but what was the Jimmy Stewart, the one where every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings. It's a Wonderful Life. I mean, it's a false premise. It's a cute little movie and everything. But all these movies, that's the way they, even Bugs Bunny cartoons, you know, how does Bugs Bunny, he dies and goes, he's good, but Yosemite Sam has to come back and do some good works.
And the rest of the time they portray Christians as Catholics.
Yeah, it's almost always a Catholic. And Jenny Louise was making a comment about that this week. Or just after the shooting, that they kept interviewing these guys, and they would refer to the priest. It's a Baptist church. And they refer to the priest and the parishioners and all these things. And because they're just so Catholic, they can't even think in non-Catholic terms. Of, you know, Baptists, they don't have a priest. It's our doctrine, a priesthood of believers.
You see that one guy?
Yeah.
He was like praying and flannel.
Huh?
The one guy with the beard was praying and flannel.
He was a Christian. He was actually a professing Christian.
Wasn't he standing in for the preacher then?
No, I don't know which one you're talking about. The guy who shot the perpetrator had a beard and flannel.
The church seemed a bit, you know, not.
Oh yeah, casual or yeah, informal, yeah. But they just can't. They have no idea. That's how Catholic they are. Oh, I see that hand. I see that hand. All right, that's our cue. Let's all stand. We have a closing prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. And we do ask that you help us to really retain this and make it a part of our thinking. Help us, Lord, to overcome these dark days. Help us to be a witness. Help us to live for you and have a good relationship with you daily. And Father, we just ask for traveling mercies for everyone who, as we head home. And we do say without any real joking at all, that we will see one another here, there, or in the air. And we really do pray, Lord, come quickly. In Jesus' name, amen.
The other days of the week. Is today going to be the end of that? is today going to be the day where you walk out that door and you live for the Lord? Is today going to be the day you walk out that door and you start to make some changes that only you and God know need to be made? Is today that day? And the next question is, do you realize it may be the last day you have an opportunity to get things right? None of us are guaranteed tomorrow, whether it's the rapture or a car accident or whatever. And as your pastor, I have to tell you, it's insanity to see the world we live in, so many professing Christians not living for the Lord.
Amen.
Wasting your life. Just wasting your life. Amen. If you're not living for the Lord, you're wasting your life.
Yeah.
You're going to stand before the Lord and realize you are a waste of human flesh.
Yeah. That's right.
But today you can change that. Today you can make this the day. I'm going to stop letting other people influence me. I'm going to stop being their little guinea pig, do whatever they want with me. I'm going to start living for the Lord, and I'm going to take a stand when I need to. And that's how Jesus said you proved your love. I mean, I'm glad y'all sing along, but don't just say it. Live it.
Amen.
Love
Amen.
Jesus with your life. Let's sing verse 3.
Tell me what my Father